Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom, my brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And I know there'll be some follow-up topics after this part of the show that some of the listeners will get to hear, and I'll try to touch on some of those subjects. I sometimes find out what the topic is just when the show begins, but that's okay. It keeps me on my toes. What we were talking about this morning is core. I was on a real rampage for about 2.5 hours this morning. And then, of course, we had an earlier show on another network that went about an hour or so altogether. We got about 7 hours of broadcasting today. We have some study groups looking at the Free Church Report. And we also, during the week, we have people looking at Thy Kingdom Come, which talks about what the early church was doing, why they did it, and why it was really almost identical to what Moses was doing, almost identical to what Abraham was doing. And around these events that were actually setting men free and keeping whole societies free and saving societies when society crumbled under corruption and decadence is almost been kept a total secret from the people. And what my rampage this morning was on, I say rampage, it's just preaching the kingdom, but was the fact that people are always trying to blame the problems of modern society on someone else. And this has been a problem since the garden. Someone is always blaming things. It's not my fault. It's the woman you gave me, or it's this or that, or it's the Illuminati, or it's the Federal Reserve, or the whatever. It's the government's fault. No, it's our fault. It's our fault because we're not taking back our responsibilities. And if you don't take back your responsibilities, you can't have your rights back. And that's just the way it is in nature. But then we talked a great deal about what that would look like, how a society would take back those responsibilities. And after the show, someone here started talking about stuff that they are reading. I can't keep up with all the stuff going on in the news, and one of the big items that are in the news is a thing called C-Scope, and it's a new educational program that snuck in with an absolute communist agenda. It refers to Christianity as a cult, actually a death cult, even, because of its obsession with death. And it also supposedly talks in favor of and a great light of Muslim religions. And I don't have to talk about these other religions in a bad light. I just talk about what's righteous and what's right. And we had a discussion in one of our study groups today where somebody was not sure that they could go along with all the doctrines of His Holy Church, which is not really an organization started by me. It's just a website, hisholychurch.org. But we do have a network, an organization, where we establish all things with two or more witnesses, which is a fundamental idea and doctrine of both Old and New Testament. It's a fundamental idea that is a part of law in every country of the world. It's how you start governments, is that two or more people get together and they agree on something that is legal to agree upon. And that's what we teach. We show you how to do that, how the early church did that, how Christ was setting things up so you could do that, how Moses did that, how Abraham did that. And we explain this in great detail with lots of footnotes where you can look it up and check for yourself. But it is completely contrary to what you would normally hear in your churches. But what you've normally hear in your churches has pretty much wrecked society and all freedom and liberty in society, so that things like C-Scope can come up in the midst of you and you not even hardly know about it. And C-Scope has a lot of social engineering ideas. It has, I mean, it's really bizarre. You'll have to go and look it up. I haven't done enough research about it to talk about it in thorough terms, but it is absolutely being kept secret from the people, but yet it's implemented in, I don't know, about 800 some odd schools in Texas, and it really is worse than anything I've seen come along in a long time. They talk about it teaching a communist agenda. In reality, though, if you're really going to be honest, and this is going to shake a lot of people up, is that the whole idea of public school is a communist agenda. Most kids were educated in private schools for the greater part of the history of America, and we had the highest literacy rates in the world. And now our literacy rate has actually gone down with universal education to public schools. And there is absolutely no doubt. I mean, I've sat there and gone over the math problems in fourth and fifth grade math books with high school graduates, and they could not answer the questions at the beginning of the book. They couldn't solve the problems at the beginning of the book, at least the fifth grade book. It's astounding how little we do know and how less and less our children are being graduated with useful information, and how our view of history has been altered so that we are doomed to repeat history. And so we were talking about CORE, and what we were talking about, CORE, C-O-R-E, we're actually using that term, or at least I am now, is that CORE is simply a congregation of records, people coming together on record saying, we're going to watch your back, we're going to take care of one another. And the reason I added the E, we used to just call it C-O-R, but we're doing the C-O-R-E thing now because people have not quite, and it's come to me as kind of a revelation. I've kind of known it, but it's kind of a revelation this week, that they do not understand that when they gather together in these free assemblies that we call CORE, that the elders, which are the heads of each family, that's an elder. It's not an office outside of the family. It's an office of the family. Your representative, your head of your family, is your elder. And that's the way it was at the time of Christ. When they say elder, that's what they're talking about. That elder, what we call eldership, is essential to make a free assembly work, because all the power of that assembly rests in the hands of the elders. It's not a power over each other. It's a power within their own family that they do not relinquish any power from their family, any right to choose, any exousia, any liberty in their family. And yet they formed a whole free society simply by these people coming together. Christ said that the kingdom of God was for the living, not for the dead. And for some reason or other, everybody thinks that the kingdom of God is for you after you die, that you go up to heaven, and, you know, everything is just hunky-dory and perfect, and you're in eternal bliss and happiness. And really, there is no evidence in the Bible that that's actually what goes on. That's projection by a handful of phrases in the Bible that people imagine that that's what it's like. The best description of life after death for those who are seeking God, His kingdom, and His righteousness was actually in a movie which had no other redeeming qualities to it other than someone said that we could be killed. And somebody else said, it was actually an alien in the movie, said, don't think of it as dying. Think of it as fighting evil in another dimension. And that's really what the difference between life and death is about. You either stand against evil, stand for righteousness. That's how you stand against evil. Stand for righteousness. Now, in this world, stand fast in the liberty in which God, Christ has made you free. You do that now, or you're not going to be in heaven after you die. You're going to be in the same type of hell you allowed for everybody else. You do not stand for righteousness. There is no place for you in the kingdom of God. That's it. And Christ said this. And this is what I'm going to go back to, what I said at the beginning of the show. Somebody wasn't sure that they could go along with all the doctrines of His Holy Church, which, again, like I say, it's not a corporation or anything that we started. His Holy Church is a phrase describing what Christ was actually establishing, what He was actually doing. And we've said before that the definition of the church is a body or community established by Jesus Christ for His purposes, His doctrines, His ordinances. That's the definition in law of what the church is. It is for His doctrine. So when people kept asking us to write a doctrines, I read doctrines of hundreds and hundreds of churches over the years. And especially at the time when everybody kept bugging me to write some kind of a doctrine, as if I'm some sort of an authority over it. And I said, it's ridiculous. The doctrines of the church are the doctrines of Christ. What did He say? And then, so I went and looked at all these other doctrines to see what does everybody else say His doctrines were. And it was always someone's opinion about what Jesus said. And one of the lessons that I learned in history, and why we homeschooled our children, was because it was a long ways away, and then we discovered that we could do a better job than the rest of the world. And so we began to homeschool our kids as they continue to come. You know, we had 6 children, and now we have grandchildren being homeschooled. In the process of this, I became a collector of school books of all ages, 1945, 1920s, even into the 1800s. And what I noticed in those school books, besides the fact that they're dumbing down your children, and that they're altering the way that we view history, and we are beginning to not understand what was really going on, so therefore we're doomed to repeat the same mistakes of history, and we're all doing that. But we need to understand something about life and how people decide things, how governments work, that has simply just been erased out of our historical memory. C-SPAN is coming along, or C-SCOPE is coming along, C-SPAN probably too, but C-SCOPE in the educational system is coming along and absolutely twisting it completely. It's like 1984, and it's a massive agenda. And it's not based on textbooks. It's based on these printed materials, printing out things and having kids work on it. The information, their answers, their essay answers. You don't answer an essay based on your knowledge. You base it on what they write in these printed out sheets. And your opinions are changed. You know, like I said, Christianity is now a cult. You know, that's the way it's treated. A death cult. And this is being kept secret. Now they're starting to, in some states, trying to pass laws to force them to admit what they're doing and show what they're doing and share the information with school boards. But that is trying to change that, trying to fix that system. It's like putting new wine in old wineskins. The system is fundamentally flawed. People have to get their kids out of that. In order to do that, for a lot of people, they're going to need help. They're not going to simply be able to take their kids out of school. We've got it down now where both parents are working outside the home. Most families are broken families. How are they going to homeschool their kids? This is why you need CORE. This is why you need to gather together. And what you do when you gather together, there's a spiritual thing that takes place. Is that you give up your time, your energy, your life for other people to help them so they can homeschool their kids. And then you can expand this out to home health and home industry and all sorts of things. But at least save the children. Save the children from the wicked evil spirits that are now infesting your schools, the wicked evil ideas that are infesting your schools and your education systems, in the books that they have in these educational systems, they're changing everything. They're rapidly doing it, faster than you can keep up with it. And you can't even see some of the change. Now, if you go look at C-Scope, you can see huge changes, but you can't see the changes. If you're a young couple and you go back and you look at your children's curriculum, first grade, second grade, unless you go over it with a fine-tooth comb, you probably won't see how many lies they're teaching, because you've already learned the lies. You already went to school and learned lies. I had learned lies. I went to school 50, 60 years ago. And I was learning lies. It wasn't until I was forced to go out and buy school books, and I was trying to buy secondhand school books, so I got the new ones, I got the old ones, and I started reading and trying to find out which one was the best one. And I realized that this was all opinions about what George Washington thought, what Thomas Jefferson thought. You get quotes, but it's always in the context of some historian's opinions. You needed to actually read. These men were extremely prolific. And so you could go and read what they actually wrote, and then you would get a different idea. You studied the actual history by studying the actual documents of the time. And I could see that the opinions of what those men were doing changed in our modern history books. Even history books that go back 40 years, or even 50, 60 years, you could see the change already taking place. All the way back to about 1908, where it really began in earnest. And so now you don't have any standard by which to judge what are they teaching. What is true? What is not true? And so you need to go even farther back, and you need to do your own research. And of course, you can't do that all yourself. So you need to gather together with other people doing the research, and you compare, and you think about it, and you pray about it, and you try to figure out what is really true, what is really going to bear fruit. We know where socialism leads. It weakens society, totalitarianism comes up, millions of people end up dying. And to some, that's a regular agenda. But to you, your agenda must be life. So what you need to do, and most people aren't going to want to do this. Most people are going to want to just keep putting their kids on the bus and sending them to school and do what everybody else says. Even though statistically you can prove that homeschooling gives a better education. It produces a better rounded individual. You know, statistically speaking, I'm not going to say every case homeschooling is going to do that, but every case of public schooling doesn't do that either. Very few mass gunmen, armed gunmen, break into homeschoolers' houses and kill homeschoolers. This doesn't usually happen. They do go to your gun-free zones where they're teaching that God is not allowed in, so that you don't have God's protection and you don't have all these other things. You need to get your kids out. And the only way to do that, for some of you, it might be good to do it because you have the resources and the ability and the time. And that's great. We just made the time. Our resources was the fact we just did without. We just spent, you know, we were up till midnight making plans and trying to figure out. Now there are so many study programs out there. You've got a lot of help. But you also sometimes need help on the ground. And that's why you need CORE. You need these congregations that come together simply on the basis of homeschooling. And then you work into home health and these other things later. Back to the doctrines of Jesus Christ. When we wrote out those doctrines, we did not say, this is what I think Jesus means. This is what I think. That's not a part of our doctrine. That would be our opinion. That's our private interpretation. What we wrote down is, what did he actually say? We didn't ask Paul for his opinion. When we wrote the doctrines of the church, they're just Jesus' words, no commentary. That's the official doctrines. Now, we got lots of different people and have all kinds of different ideas, and that's fine. You just work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But the basics are simple. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the rights that God has given you. Respect the rights that God has given others, and come together and work together, so that you do not have to covet your neighbor's goods and send your kids to public school or join healthcare systems. You know, if the church was actually doing what the first century church did, you'd be exempt from healthcare. This new healthcare system, you would be excluded from healthcare. You would already have healthcare in place because that they were already taking care of all their needy in their society. And that's all you need is a system of self-care that is viable and works, and you're excluded. But it has to be stem back to before 1976. Done deal. Church has been around since the courts have recognized church the church since at least 300 AD. But it's actually been around since 30 AD. And actually, if you really understood the church, because Jesus took the kingdom away from one group and gave it to another, the original church, the original religion of God, stems all the way back to Adam and Eve. But at least we have a historical recognition in the courts of America and many other courts as well that the church stems back to Christ, at least before 1976. So anyway, that's what CORE is working on that. And when you spend your life, the life you're living now, investing it in others through faith, hope, and charity, your afterlife, it will be taken care of. What happens after this mortal body is shed will be taken care of. That's why Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Do righteousness today. Seek righteousness today. That's why he doesn't hardly talk about life after death. He says the kingdom is for the living. That's what it will take care of. And if you were actually doing what that early church was doing, you would see the miracles of the early church alive in your community right now. You would see people that would normally be dead or sick or ill become well again. And we're not going to show you those things. We're not going to talk about them in detail. You have to see them in your heart and in your mind first, because it's not good enough to believe by signs and wonders. You're going to see signs and wonders when evil is afoot, and it's already pretty much afoot, but when it really gets going, things are really falling apart, and you've done your prepping, except you did not tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith amongst even the smallest of communities. 10 families. You know, I told a story here once before about a guy who had let his next door neighbor use his land by running a pipe across it to get water out of an irrigation ditch because it saved him a lot of pipe. And that guy went down and filed at the courthouse that he owned the land. He just said you could run your pipes there. And then when he wanted to sell the land, he didn't know that somebody had filed on the land, but he went to sell the land and asked the guy to remove the pipes, and the guy says, no, it's my land now. And he says, what do you mean? It's my land. I've got a deed. It's been my land for 20 years. I'm going to sell it. I want you to take your pipes off the land so that when the new buyers come, because I was just letting you do that. And he says, no, the land belongs to me now. Get off my land. And he said, well, this is ridiculous. He thought, this is crazy. The guy's nuts. Well, the guy was a judge. His name is Gregory, Judge Gregory. I'll give you his name. He's up there in Prineville. He's still up there. He's got the land now. The guy tried to fight it in court, spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to fight it in court. The court people, the court clerk says, yeah, I know, but he's a judge. What are you going to do? Well, if you guys were really doing what Jesus said, tending to law, judgment, mercy, and faith, everybody in Prineville would have gone down there and the guy would have got his land back. Wouldn't have to do anything but show up. Cockroaches don't like it when you show up and turn on the lights. You guys aren't turning on the lights. You're going to your churches to sleep. And I've told you that all before. You're not going to turn this world around. You can only turn yourself around. and gather together with other people that are willing to turn around too. The C-SPAN, it's got a lot of different ideas in it, or C-SPAN, I keep saying C-SPAN, it's just as bad, it's C-SCOPE, and you know, it's a K-12 educational curriculum. Now, although they don't like it when you call it curriculum, but it really is a curriculum. And it's widespread in Texas. And they're trying to get it everywhere. And even if they knock it down and rename it, the fact is there's a huge mental mindset that's moving in that direction. It's being opposed in some places, but a lot of people are just impervious. They don't care. They just want somebody to take care of their kids. And they talk about all the different things that goes on in the curriculum and the way they approach it. But most people, they don't understand education. A few do, but most don't. And there's nothing you can do about that except gather together, get your kids out of school. You want to talk about going to the doctor and shots and vaccines and all these things. We have seen a number of remedies that have come along that have been home remedies. Remarkable solutions. Remarkable success. And, you know, I'm not really the expert to talk about all those things, and I could, but that's not really what the topic is today. We're really at the break already, so why don't we take a break, and when we come back, you can maybe steer us in a direction that will allow us to explore what we can do about life after life in this life, so that life after death is not such a mystery.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbor as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California, His holy church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. And we're talking about core to freedom, core to liberty. Yeah, liberty is always an individual journey. And as we were talking about this morning, this idea of coming together with other people that have that same spirit, that idea of working together with other people is so important, because when you try, you know, it's kind of like going to the target range without any bullets and coming back and telling everybody that you're an expert shot and you never used any bullets. You have to actually practice with real bullets. In other words, when you go and gather together with other people, you're going to be confronting your own impatience, your own vanity, your own lack of virtue. People have a way of bringing out and pushing your buttons, and that's good, because when you get your buttons pushed, you know you've got buttons and you know you've got something that you need to address in yourself. And when you know deep inside of us, in our physical existence, we bury a lot of our resentments, our angers, you know, when people betray us, we bury it away and we don't want to look at it. We make mistakes, we don't want to see it. We put it out of our mind, but it doesn't go out of your mind, it just goes somewhere back in the corners of your mind. And you keep doing that until you're only using maybe 10% of your brain. Because the rest of it is a storehouse for all the junk and garbage that you would not forgive and let go. And when you die, there's no place to hide that anymore. And what you are now experiencing is the hell that you created, or the minimal heaven that you established in your own heart and mind. It is in this life, in this physical life, in which you get to confront what you are and what you have not yet become. If you are not patient, if you're not loving, if you're not forgiving, if you're not kind, you cannot enter into the kingdom, it says. There's dozens of quotes in the Bible about who is allowed to enter into the kingdom and who is not allowed to enter into the kingdom. It says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." That's in direct contradiction to what most people want to believe, that all you have to do is believe and you're saved. And they say we're saved by grace. Of course we're saved by grace. But you have to be a doer. It's not the amount that you do, it's the direction. The prodigal son turned around, headed back to be a servant, and his father ran out and met him. The two sons both were told to go do something. One of them said yes, but didn't do it. The other one said no, but then changed his mind and did it. Which one was the son? The one who did. Did his doing earn him salvation? No, he's still saved by grace. Constant theme. But they would have you do nothing. So what do? You gather together and help get your neighbor's kids out of school, out of these places that are teaching them lies, out of these C-scope plans. And C-scope is, you know, the phrase C-scope is relatively new, although it's been around for a while. It's already done a great deal of damage in the schools, and they're beginning to understand it. But the reality of the spirit that's there has been there for a long time. And it's that's why, you know, I can remember when my kids were growing up. Now they all have kids that are, now we got great-grandkids now, but they were growing up and we were teaching them at home, and we got a lot of resistance from local people who thought, oh, what's the matter? Don't you like our schools? Da, 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 da. But as time went on and our kids grew up and they would be hiring our kids rather than their own kids, and they couldn't get their own kids to do work that our kids were willing to do and did well. And that's actually the case. That's what was actually happening. They would come to me on the side and they said, I don't know where our kids get these ideas. Well, I can tell you where they got them. In the schools. They're barring parents from schools now. These C-scope plans are secret. They didn't want you to even know about them. But they've been creeping in all across the country. And they'll change the name, and they'll come in. It's kind of like aspartame. Called aspartame on this bottle. Another bottle is called something else. And then they call it something else. I can't remember all the different names. If I didn't put it in the bottle, I probably ain't going to drink it. So that's how I know. I don't have labels on my bottles because I filled them up myself. We try to grow all our food that we can ourselves. Tomorrow's butcher day. We're butchering another cow. And we know everything that went into that cow. We know what it's eaten. We know its mother. We know its grandmother. Now, everybody can't do that, but you could, in a network of people that included farmers right outside of town, including a network of farmers and ranchers, well, you can find out where you can get your meat. And there are people all over the country that are beginning to wake up to the fact that GMOs are poisonous, these antibiotics and growth hormones that they're putting in cattle everywhere. I put in growth hormones, but never into my cows. I used to have to work out for other ranchers, and they would be injecting them in to the ears, you know, Ralgro or whatever it was. And that's what they wanted, but we would never do it. We wouldn't put it in our cows. We've had generation after generation where we don't have any. We've bred disease out of our cows, out of our sheep. They don't get the sicknesses everybody else does because we have been husbandmen. The same thing goes for your family, and the same thing should go for your community, and this is what CORE is all about. That's why we have our own FEMA, Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. But in order for us to be able to come when you called, especially during times of emergency, we need to know who you are. We need to know if you're worthy of our sacrifice. We're going to sacrifice our lives for other people, give up our time, our energy for others. We know that's essential in the kingdom. That is righteousness, to care about other people's rights as much as we care about our own. But in order to do that, we need to start doing it on a local level and a networking level all across the country. And so, you know, we're on lots of stations now, and not great numbers, but we're going out to more and more people. And we could be on greater numbers. We've got preparingyou.com, which is actually now we're redoing a new site, preparingyou.com. We have hisholychurch.org. We have a records ministry for our ID program. We have networking systems, thelivingnetwork.org. And we're putting all this together, but it's absolutely essential that you work there on the ground. You're the core of the cores. You're the elders. Your families have to work together and help one another. How much do you help? How much time is it going to take? You decide. Power is in your hands. But God gives you power so that you can be like Him. And what does He do? He creates life. He gives life. You have to do the same. If you're not a giver of life, a creator of life, a nurturer of life, not just for yourself, not just for your family, but for other families, there will be no place for you in the kingdom of God. And there are other kingdoms out there that are not of God, and they will take you. They love the selfish. They're full of selfish people. That's how people get there. You get in because you're compatible with selfish people, and they put them all there. Unfortunately, they're also very authoritarian, which is what you see rising up in the world. In the kingdom, everybody does everything out of love. And you will, upon your death, you will be drawn to one or the other by the nature of the life you've lived here. And you will go and stand for righteousness in another dimension, or you will go with the backbiters and the selfish gossipers and the authoritarian religionists. You will be drawn towards them. You birds of a feather will flock together. So this is why we encourage you to start challenging yourself to be the core. Come together in these free assemblies. Say, you know, I want to get to know you people in this area. I want to be a part of what you're doing. It doesn't require 7 days a week, at least not now, but you got to start somewhere. It's like a little plant in the garden. I go out there and I plant all the seeds. We're coming up on another gardening season. You plant these little tiny seeds and you don't even imagine, you can't even hardly see them. I have to get down on my hands and knees to see, did I actually drop a seed in there? And you cover it up with dirt so you can't even see it anymore, and you water it and you hope it comes up, and it finally comes up and you're down on your hands and knees seeing these little tiny leaves, and you're thinking like, that's it, that's gonna feed me. But before the summer's out, it's just thick, lush. You can't even walk through the potatoes. They're 5 feet tall. You know, you can't get through the squash. The vines are just too thick. And that's the way God's garden is going to grow too. That we're getting more and more people that are getting it. There are more and more people coming to the study programs. More and more people reading the materials. But it doesn't do you any good unless you start implementing it in the lives of others. The treasury of the kingdom is what you invest in one another. The time, the energy, you know, the willingness to talk with one another on the phone. That spirit that you cultivate when you do that, walk that walk. You know, Jesus was very particular about those talents. You know, He gave one guy a talent, and one guy two talents, one guy three talents. And the guy who didn't do anything, he got it taken away. So you're given time, years, energy. What are you doing? Yeah, you got some friends, but is it a network? Is it a kingdom? Is it just a little club of friends? You see, casting your bread upon the waters in hopes that it must come back to you means that you have to cast it out in hope. Not just be nice to your neighbors, but be nice to people you don't even know, far away. Well, how do you do that? Unless you create a network based on that, and that's what Christ was doing. That's what Moses was doing. That's what Abraham was doing. Moses wasn't going to send his kids to C-SPAN schools and force his neighbor to pay for their education at the point of a sword. He was going to educate his children himself. You know, and what happens when you do that? A door opens up, a door of righteousness that you can see. You know, I read you the thing that then said Jesus to his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." And And again, I say unto you that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. What is he talking about? You have to have this nature of sacrifice, not the nature of accumulation. You want to be a prepper, learn how to give righteously. Strengthen others. Create the bonds of a free society amongst others. He says in Matthew 23:13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them to enter into." What is he talking about? He's not talking about life after death. He's talking about the system that they set up cuts you off from a system of righteousness. He talks about in Mark 9:47, "If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." Now we imagine what he's talking about there, but what he's really talking about is your life an occasion of selfishness, covetousness? Is your life an occasion of neglect? Because that will draw you into evil. Life giveth life. Righteousness giveth life. So, you should, this is why I say take your kids out of schools. Start forming a network of people together that help you do that and accomplish that with greater and greater skill. That's just a simple thing, but then, like I said, also health, also industry, also business, also where you get your food. Form a network that is obtaining food for you that is not dependent upon the corporate stores. You will get better food. I'm not saying you can never go into a corporate. I'm not making up rules. I'm showing you that you need to become an independent, intentional community that is seeking righteousness in all that you do. You know, we have this idea, you know, we talk about walking in the Holy Spirit. And I could give you all kinds of stories about when we walked in the Holy Spirit and miraculous things happen. And we're, you know, our lives are saved. And we are led to meet people and find people that we couldn't find otherwise. And this is, people talk about, well, this is all because of Christ and the miracles of Christ. This is the way it has been from the beginning. What does it say back in Exodus 4:12? "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." That's Exodus. The idea that Jesus says that God will put it, don't study ahead of time, but God will put it in your mouth. That's not new. That's old. "Love thy neighbor as thyself." That's not new. That's old. God is the same. Go on to Exodus 4:15. It says, "And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do." He's teaching you. He goes on in Exodus 18, "Thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and work that they must do." They must do. And Christ said the same thing. "Be not hearers only, but doers of the word." It's not new. There's nothing different. Because in doing, it begins to change you. When you come face to face with your laziness and your selfishness and your arrogance, you can bring light where there was darkness. And you will begin to do things different. "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Place such over them." Now when they say place such over them, the word "such" isn't even there. "And over them," what did they mean? "Be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens." When they say the word "ruler" there, which Hebrew word did they have? You see, later on when they choose a king, they are warned that if you choose a king, He will appoint men over your thousands, over your hundreds, over your tens and your fifties. And he says he will appoint them. In this, you're appointing them from the bottom up. You're picking them from the bottom up. There was no king to assign them. You were kings and priests. He was showing you. And if you go the other way, where somebody else, you elect one guy or a group of guys, and they decide who will rule over you, then you've lost the liberty of Christ. You've lost the liberty of God. You have turned your back on the ways of Moses. And it will change you spiritually. Just as if you take back your responsibilities, you will be changed spiritually too. Like the prodigal son going back to the father to serve. That he was spared by grace. And God will give you more. You know, the denarii that was taken from the ones who just folded it up in the napkin, what he was given was now given to those who did something with it. So this is what we have to do. We have to start doing something with the time, the energy that God gives us. And that doing something must be of service to others. And I gave you an example of homeschooling, but that, like I say, also there's home health, home agriculture. You could grow huge amounts of foods, even in the cities. You could become a part of community gardens in the cities. You just need, and you don't need to be espousing all kinds of religious rhetoric. You need to be doers of what Christ was saying, of loving one another, caring about them. The world has gone a whoring after a system that could care less whether their children learned, could care less whether their children grew and blossomed. They want their children to become good factory workers and automatons. And they will take your sons and daughters, run before their chariots and to be their confectionaries. And they will take and take and take. You have to change that process by changing the way in which you relate to your community. And then a hedge, a shield, an armor shall come around you and protect you and your family, because you came to protect others. You came to give life to others. Life will be given unto you. No greater love does a man have than he will lay down his life for his fellow man. Will you do that? Will you gather together and start forming that network, that faith emergency ministry auxiliary, that department of the Holy Spirit, that core group, that congregation? And that's what you need to do, is join on our network. If you know of other networks that are doing the same thing, put them in touch with us. We will link with them. And the more people we link to, the richer the kingdom becomes. It's from generation to generation, from elder to elder, from family to family. The just shall live by faith. That's what Paul says. They will live by the faith and hope that if I cast my bread upon the waters of the earth in righteousness, it will come back to me in God's righteousness. So anyway, guess what? We're coming to the end of another program. And peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. Well, we'll see you next week. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.